Thank you, Terry. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Everybody has a need in your body, a physical need healed. Just put your hand up on your chest. We're going to pray to start out here. We believe at Crossfire Jesus still heals. And we believe that Jesus is the healer. Nothing's changed. He's the same Jesus that healed back when he was alive on planet Earth, still alive today on planet Earth through the Holy Spirit. And he's here this morning. He's here. He's right here. He's in the midst of us right now. And the people who didn't come today missed that.
That's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Your vote counts.
Yes.
But Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. And Lord, every person that has their hand up on their chest right now that has a need within their body, or maybe they're interceding for someone, a loved one or whatever, also, Father, we hold them up before your throne of grace and mercy. Lord, you said that by Jesus' stripes that we were and that we are healed. Past tense. It's done. It's finished. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he meant that. So, Lord, we look to you. And we thank you for the healing that we need within our bodies right now. We take authority against cancer, against kidney disease, against skin disease, against every disease and every infirmity the enemy would try to put upon your people, Lord. We take authority against it in the name of Jesus. And we receive that healing that was given to us as a benefit through Jesus by what he did on Calvary's cross. I pray that for every person this morning to receive that in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus is alive?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, what was sad in this week, this month, by the way, you know, is they call it Pride Month. Yes. You hear about that?
Yes.
It's coming at us from every direction, isn't it? And it's really sad, but you know, I don't honor that, nor do I respect it in the sense that it is given. But I tell you, I honor God every single month, all day long, 24 hours a day. And I honor the moms and the dads who raise their children according to the Word of God. I honor the military and the law enforcement and the healthcare workers in our nation. I honor them and nothing but that. You do not honor sin. You don't honor sin. You don't recognize sin. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. And we need to stand against it as people, Christian people, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And you know, there's a family I saw on social media this week that their little girl wanted to be a boy. Long story short, mom and dad were sitting there. She says they're conservative Christians. Wow. But yet their little girl is sitting there as a teenage boy now, saying he is, still a she. That didn't change anything. But when you see moms and dads sitting up there and letting their young children support that type of thing, that's demonic.
Yes.
That's out of the pits of hell.
Yes.
The mom said, well, God created us exactly where we should be, so I believe he's okay. And I tell you what, kids are being fed this stuff in schools today.
That's right.
And we need to stand against it as people of God.
Yeah.
And it's a sad deal. And I just want to bring it up. This month is not Pride Month in the respect that we're being told. At all. So I just want to get that across here. If there's anybody in here who has any other thought on that, that's our thoughts here at Crossfire Assembly. We do not justify homosexuality, LGBTQ, XYZ, whatever it is, transgenderism, any of that. We do not support it in any way. We do not hate homosexuals. We do not hate transgender people. We love them, but we hate the sin that is destroying them and sending them into an eternal hell. That's what we're against. And that's what we fight against. And we will receive people when they want to come here and have their lives changed. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I got the soapbox all morning, so I'm going to keep going. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to speak on the root of bitterness.
Good.
There's a lot of bitterness in our country today. There's a lot of bitterness even in Christian homes today. And even what I just mentioned on here, a lot of this stuff, I believe Satan is trying to get a foothold into God's people's homes and lives through bitterness. And he's doing it through a lot of the things that we're seeing today that I just mentioned. It can affect you, can't it? When you see it in front of you, put before you every day on the television, the internet, your jobs, wherever it is, it's posted everywhere. And we can become bitter, or we can become soldiers of the cross and go out and witness. That's the whole problem right there. God's people have got to get out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in love to a lost world. And then when we do it that way, the bitterness can't come in. But there's a root of bitterness in our nation today. It's all around us. And I just felt in my heart, I'm going to touch on that this morning, because we do not want Satan to get a foothold in our lives in any way. Amen. And there may be some of you sitting in here this morning that you have a root of bitterness. And maybe this message is for you. But if it isn't, maybe you can tell somebody that you know maybe is walking around with bitterness in their heart. Amen. So to set the stage for today's message to start, I do not want to insult your intelligence, but what is a root? A root is a source or a bubbling fountain that is laying under the surface. Roots do not directly manifest or make themselves known, but are a source of nutrition or fuel for the elements that are on the surface. A root's job is not to manifest on the surface, but to brew under the surface and fuel things that are on the surface. Amen? Amen. A closer look at the plant's root system, where does the root dwell? How many were raised on a farm in here? I was. You don't even have to be raised on a farm. How many like gardens? You ever, you know, when we were kids, Dad would plant his cornfield, and after a few weeks, we'd run out there, and we'd want to go see what was happening to that seed of corn out there, and we'd take the dirt and brush the dirt away, and sure enough, there's that little seed of corn, and there's a root coming out. And pretty soon the green stalk is starting to show on the surface, but that root is growing in there. And that was fascinating to see that happen. Maybe you've done it in your garden with peas or anything else that you planted, and you go back after a while, you see there's a root growing in there. I hope you covered it back up. But anyway, under the surface of the soil is where the root dwells. Can everybody see its root system? Can you? No, we can't, can we? It's under the surface. And it's because it's hidden under the soil and not the surface. The same is true with bitterness in a person's soul. You can't see it, can you? Or can we? It's a hidden element that lies under the surface, and out of it springs up anger and other negative emotions against others and against circumstances around us. People that have a root of bitterness find it easy to get upset over things that others are doing around them. Amen? We can be affected by that when people are doing things that we really don't like, and we can either grow a root of bitterness toward them or we can pray for them. It's like a brewing fountain that lies beneath the surface waiting to fuel something that is on the surface. Bitterness is a root. It's a root. And thereby making it harder to identify and expose many surface issues that are going on. But nonetheless, it's a deadly poison. It's a deadly poison that needs to be brought into the light and addressed in order to bring people out of spiritual, emotional, and even physical bondage. There's people walking around in bondage that are full of bitterness. If left alone, it will grow and it'll fester. That's why it needs to be confessed. If you know you have it, confess it. It needs to be exposed. It has the ability to spring up at many surface issues as irritability, anger, hatred, and other things in our life. It will expose itself that way. And how many people today are full of hatred and anger in our society? We're in a time where it's all around us, people. And we need to be aware of that. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 through 15, it says, follow. And I want to stop. The word follow there in the Greek means to pursue, to chase, to seek after, to follow through. We're to seek after it, to follow, to chase it. Peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. Verse 15 says, looking diligently, and in the Greek, that means to look at, to inspect, examine, and to pay regard to. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. That's for all the people who believe in eternal security. You can do whatever you want, be it whatever you want, and still go to heaven. But look at here. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Whew. Jesus put that in there for a reason. He wanted us to be aware of what's happening to ourselves or others around us. Bitterness is never legitimate, people. When we stand before the Lord one day and we will be judged according to whatever, and we say the reason I was bitter is because so-and-so did this or that to me, whatever, it won't hold water. That's right. It won't do anything. No matter what someone has done to you, and I don't say that lightly, how bad or how often, bitterness is a wrong response and will never be acceptable or justified before the Lord, ever. It won't ever be that way. Ask yourself this. Say, Holy Spirit, is there anyone that I have a root of bitterness toward? I hope he's working right now on you if you do. If you think of any name that comes to your mind, when you think about him, what are you thinking? Is there an anger deep down inside that I've never dealt with because of that person, how they treated me or didn't or whatever? Is there something happening deep down inside when I think of that person? Is the poison of it seeping into every facet of my life? Does it control your every thought daily when you're at work or in school or where in your home or if you're out shopping, when you see different things? Is it affecting you in other areas of your life? You might say, how can I know that? How can I know that? Is there anyone that when you're around them, you don't feel joyful or happy? Don't raise your hands. I'm too close to you. Is there anyone that when their face comes to mind, you can honestly say, I don't have any bitterness toward them? I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. So the subject of the root of bitterness. The word bitterness comes from the Greek word pikria, which translates sticky. Sticky. It's one thing to be angry for a moment, but to allow the anger to grow into an embittered or resentment sticking to you until a spirit of bitterness grows, that's another thing. Once it sticks you, it's hard to get it off. It's kind of like gum in the carpet. That's what happens when bitterness gets a hold of a soul. You cannot harbor bitterness in your heart because it's one of the most devastating and destructive things that exist in human life. It will destroy us. And Satan knows that. That's why he wants us to look around what's happening in the world right now with bitterness and hatred. He wants to get a foothold. But we don't need to be that way. Jesus said when we see these things begin to happen, to look up and to rejoice, for his redemption draweth nigh, which means get to work and go win the lost. Those people that are angering us or are doing all the evil in this world today, we need to be out there sharing the gospel. We need to be in prayer. That's why we have Sunday night prayer. If you haven't been on it, it's good to be there. There's many churches doing regular weekly prayer messages right now. in times on Zoom or in church or whatever they can do it. But it's a great time to come before the Lord. See, I believe God is seeing how many of his people are really praying and seeking him and trusting him right now. And we've given you that opportunity through Zoom. And if you don't know how to do it, Amy will help you. It's very simple. If I can have Brother Larry Smith and Darlene come on there, I know I can and you can. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
It's a great time. Because you're communicating with God, not with me. And he's waiting to hear from us. Actually, Ginger approached me this morning. I'm going to bring it up because I thought it was a really good idea on prayer. You know what we really need to do? Sometimes demons are territorial. They're over a nation. They're over a city. They're over a state. They're over a home, wherever. Maybe is what we need to do is go outside our home and walk our perimeter of our properties and speak the blood of Jesus Christ and pray over our properties and rebuke the enemy from our lives. You got a lot of weird things happening in your life, a lot of anger happening in your families or whatever. Maybe that's what you need to do. Hold your property up to prayer and put a blood covering over your home, over your family. We do that. If everybody did that, that would be pretty awesome, wouldn't it? You cannot harbor bitterness in your heart because it's one of the most devastating things that will destroy you. You'll lose your testimony also. It is known as the spirit of bitterness. You might say, you don't know how I've been hurt. I've been hurt. Yeah. I've had some really super horrible things done in my life as a young person and as an adult. And not only in the world, in the church. I've had people that are brothers, sisters in Christ said very hurtful things. And you can either hold on to those and become bitter or you can become better. Because I learned a long time ago, I think the Holy Spirit helped me, is when people say things that are hurtful and damaging or can be, I'm not here to serve them. I'm here to serve the Lord. And when someone says something to me that can be hurtful or damaging, I don't hold bitterness toward them. I realize where it's coming from. And I look to Jesus. Jesus said, look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one I'm concerned about. And when I do that, I know that these things are going to come at me to bring me down. And I need to be aware of that. And I can grow bitter inside. There's people who stand behind pulpits that are full of bitterness because they've been hurt so bad by congregations and congregations by pastors. That things have been said. And we can either become bitter or we can be better and take it to the Lord in prayer.
That's right. Yes.
So answer this question. How did Jesus respond to the two thieves on the cross? How did he respond to them? And they were degrading him and insulting him and mocking him. Fortunately, one repented, got saved before he died. But when they got there, they were degrading Jesus. He could have become bitter, but he didn't. He didn't. The Bible let us know that he could have called 10 legions of angels in Matthew chapter 26, 53. Think about that. Jesus said, I can call 10 legions and take care of this right now. But he didn't because his heart was so full of love for mankind. Even all of those that were his enemies. He loved them. He simply said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Do you realize that many times people that have hurt us have done it and not even realized it? They don't even realize they hurt us or whatever's been done. They don't even realize it. That's why Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. If you're in a home and you've got some bitterness and anger going on right now, stop and think about it. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to love that person that you're having difficulty getting along with because they don't even know really what they're doing. And sometimes we don't. That's what my wife would say to me. However, that's not necessarily true sometimes. But here's the danger of the root of bitterness, and it comes on slowly. It's invisible. It's invisible. You may not even be aware that it's happening to you, but you're becoming bitter. Listen to Acts chapter 8, verses 18 through 23. And when Simon saw through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish in thee because thou hast that gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Verse 23, for I perceive that thou art in gall. That gall means poison. Poison of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. That's where it's at. That's meaning wrongfulness and unjust and unrighteousness. Simon never knew he had bitterness. He did not realize it. The book of Hebrews calls it the root of bitterness, and it goes on to let us know that as a root grows, it grows in two directions. Did you know that according to Scripture? First, it grows in you. Hebrews 12:15 again says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. Springing up trouble you. As a root of bitterness, it will bear bitter fruit in you. And then a root of that grows downwards, digging deeper and latching onto anything that can find to gain stability. People that are easily offended. People that hold grudges for years. There's family members that got bitterness in them that they've been hurt many years and they're just holding bitterness deep within inside, want nothing to do with their loved one or a relative because of the root of bitterness. And that's something that God does not want you or I as a child of God to have within us. It's got to be repented of. It's got to be. As a root of bitterness, it will bear bitter fruit in you. And that's what it does. The root of bitterness is characteristic of the ungodly. Did you know that? The ungodly, they're full of bitterness out there. Look what happened in the Pride Month. The people that call pride, they parade, making us think they're all happy-go-lucky and the world is just going along with them. And it's not. The suicide rate amongst the transgenders and the homosexuals is so high it's unbelievable because they're unhappy and they're full of bitterness. Try to come against them and they'll do whatever it takes. They're full of hate because it got a hold of their hearts and Satan's destroying them and all the rest of the world with it right now. Look how politics has brought bitterness into the lives of many people. Huh? In the Christian home as well as in the world. People on one side or the other. Look how the pandemic affected all of us. Look how that happened. We've got Christians sitting in church bitter toward other Christians because they don't wear a mask, and Christians that don't want to wear a mask, bitter toward the one that wears a mask. That's Satan trying to get a foothold to tear the church apart too. And that's what we're watching all around the world. If it isn't that, it's going to be monkeypox next. That's what I think of it. God is in charge. The root of bitterness, the characteristic of the ungodly. And it should never happen or be characterized among a born-again Christian. Never. Ephesians chapter 4, 31, 32 says, let all bitterness... Say that with me. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's the word of God. Now, I didn't write that. Jesus did through the Holy Ghost. I'm going to read that once more. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We have the ability to put it away. There's too many people holding on to it, saying, Holy Spirit, help me to get rid of this. Jesus just did. He said, put it away.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I got the Holy Ghost living in me.
Amen.
And so I got the ability through the Holy Spirit to put away bitterness that I may have for someone or anger.
Right.
I've got that ability. Because the Holy Ghost that lives in me gives me that ability. And that's why Jesus put it here in Ephesians. Put it away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. That's what God expects of you and I as brothers and sisters in Christ. When we're offended, don't take on a spirit of bitterness, a root of bitterness, but to forgive that person right away. Don't sit there and dwell on it. Realize that that person not even know that they've offended you. Just forgive them. That's being Christ-like, isn't it? That way there's no room for bitterness to come in and anger to come in. And too many people, they get offended and they go home and they just, it's boiling in them. They're thinking, and the old enemies, they're putting thoughts and how you'd like to get even and all, or I'll never talk to him again. And all these thoughts are coming in from the enemy, destroying relationships. When God is telling you and I, as brothers and sisters in Christ, if I say something that offends you, forgive me. Amen? Show mercy, show grace like Jesus did to the thieves. If you do to me the same thing, God doesn't want me to go home and hold bitterness toward anyone in this congregation. He wants me to forgive and realize maybe they didn't even realize how that affected me. Amen? Amen. That stops that bitterness from taking a root within your life and destroying your testimony. The root of bitterness. James chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. There's no justification for bitterness according to this. This wisdom, listen to this now. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. When you and I hold bitterness within our heart, that's what we're holding. These are marks of human wisdom. I said, these are marks of human wisdom that God just spoke here. In other words, the earthly means having this life only in view, only what's around you now and where you're living, not realizing and remembering that this is a temporary home, that one day you and the person that was offended or offended you, that's only temporary. And we've got to have the view of realizing that we need to get it right between us and God while we're here, because we're going to be somewhere else for eternity, whether that's heaven or hell. And then sensual living is only to satisfy the animal appetite within us. What makes us feel good? If we hold bitterness, if we hold anger, or whatever else. It's sensual. And devilish, it's inspired by demons. And whether you want to believe it or not, there's many people that have demons in them that are possessed, and I think multitudes today around the world and even in this nation, there's many walking around demon-possessed right now. The evil that is being done within our world is so obvious. And where is it coming from? And then we have Christians that are oppressed. I didn't say possessed. I said oppressed of Satan, and he's holding on, clinging on to them. And they're walking around full of bitterness. And that's why you see a lot of people jumping from church to church to church to church, because somebody there offended me. We've had several people in the 12 years we've been here that have left this church for bitterness in their heart. And they've gone to another church until somebody else offends them. And their bitterness grows deeper. That's what happens. That's why when you come to church at Crossfire Assembly, you don't come to worship me or anyone else. You come to worship Jesus and Him alone, and all you imperfect people sitting out here right now. These fingers are back at me too. All of us imperfect people in here are going to do things that one day might hurt or offend or do something, but we don't jump ship. That's so silly. Satan keeps people on the run all the time. Man, I tell you, I'll leave it there. James chapter 3:17 tells us the mark of divine wisdom. How many want divine wisdom? Okay, here it is. But the wisdom that is from above. Now, I told you what the wisdom is from below. Human wisdom. Earthly, sensual, and devilish. But here it is. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I like that. That's divine wisdom. See, that's what the Holy Spirit will do in you and I when we allow Him to move through us, when we've been offended, we've been hurt, we've been mistreated or whatever. And when we say, Holy Spirit, help me to be peaceable right now. Help me not to respond in like kind to somebody who hurt me, but help me to do it the way you said to do it. And that's the blessings that God gives you. That's hard to do sometimes, isn't it? That's really hard, especially if you've been hurt badly. But I tell you what, it's possible because God put it in there. But it takes work. It takes work. And if you can think of somebody in your life right now, whether in the church or in your home or within your job or whatever, and they've hurt you and they've made your life just miserable, now is the time to say, Lord, help me to see that person at the foot of the cross and forgive them. As bad a thing they've done to me, Lord, I want them saved. I want them born again. And God's going to give you a heart of peace, and you're going to like that. How many need peace in your heart? Yeah, I do. I do. But it affects us physically and emotionally. The root of bitterness will affect your heart. How many got a heart in here? It's going to affect your blood pressure. Blood pressure? Your glands, your ulcers. That's what resentment, the root of resentment will do. It will destroy us physically and whatever else it does. A lot of people are walking around today full of bitterness with diseases within them and all kinds of infirmities because they're so full of bitterness and the organs are responding to the bitterness. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. When you walk around in joy, the Holy Spirit, it should show on your face. And pretty soon you realize you're not as sick as you thought you were. And maybe that healing power that was finished and accomplished on the cross is manifesting in you because you turn that bitterness into joy. It takes work. But Jesus said, it's possible. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, realizing the other alternative will destroy you. Bitterness isn't something that starts and stops. It becomes a lifestyle with people. I know people like that. I know people have been, they've been bitter for years. And it shows on their face. And I said it before, that's why their lips are down like this. And the only way you're going to get them to go the other way is to tip them upside down. And that looked pretty funny, wouldn't it? See, it becomes a person's being and will finally eat him or her alive. It'll destroy a person. And I've watched people destroy. That's why there's so many people out there that have destroyed other lives because they've been hurt. That's why churches have splits because somebody got hurt. And rather than doing it God's way, they want to do it in their own human wisdom and do it in like kind in order to cause and create and hurt the kingdom of God. That's what we do. When we allow bitterness to rule us as Christians and we go around, we affect other people's lives. It will affect our body. It will affect the kingdom of God and what God wants to accomplish in our life and in other people's lives. It will destroy you physically. It is the source of countless spiritual and physical problems in millions of people today, and they don't even realize it. And I hope that even if there's somebody in here, the congregation this morning, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and you're allowing Him to do the work, and you, as hard as it is, you're saying, Lord, I don't want that stuff living in me. I don't want it there. I want it released in me. That doesn't mean the person gets off free, Scott, that has done anything.
That's right.
It doesn't mean that at all. But it does for you. It means it gives you freedom to be the person that God wants to do in you.
That's right.
And that's hard to do sometimes too, because the devil will keep those thoughts flying. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. Yeah, I do. Yeah, we do. We're all human beings somewhere along the line. Everybody in here has been affected by it. Many claim that they aren't an angry or hateful person, that they're not an angry or hateful person. They'll say that. But that's not what the root bitterness is all about anyway. The root of bitterness is an underlying problem that doesn't always manifest on the outside, but it dwells within the person inside. And there's people that can walk around and put a smile on their face, but they're full of bitterness. And it takes like Peter to identify that. Peter had the spirit of discernment. He knew that that man's heart was full of bitterness, even though he seemed, yeah, I'll give you some money and I'll lay hands on people and they'll get sick or get healed. But Peter saw in that man was bitterness, poisonous bitterness. And there's people that come into ministries that have bitterness in their hearts. And we have to realize that God cannot operate through that the way he desires to. And that's why many times people quit serving God too, because they get no satisfaction and joy out of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because they're carrying around within them and bitterness, a root within them, and they got to get that cleansed out of them. I don't want it in me. And believe me, we're tempted all the time to want to bring that in. And it happens slowly. Bitterness doesn't just pop in and you're bitter. It comes in slowly. One person may have affected you, and then you say, oh, look, this person did the same thing to me and so-and-so did. And it brings anger, and then bitterness starts to come into your life. Spiritually, you cannot be bitter toward anyone and love God. You can't be. You say, I can. No, you can't. Not according to the Word of God. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. That's right. That's right. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he's not seen? Even if somebody in this church hurt me, if they did, I still have the ability through the Holy Spirit to love them. Did you hear that? Not get even with them, not to hold bitterness toward them, but God has given me the ability to love them. That'll bring healing to me and hopefully to that person. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all read this scripture together. Okay? If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? I want the Holy Spirit to drench that in you and I. We cannot love God and have a root of bitterness toward anyone. And Satan doesn't want us to know that. He thinks we can be full of, he wants us to think we can walk around and be bitter, 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 and get away with it and go to heaven someday and say, ha, 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 uh-uh. We're lying to ourselves and we're lying to God, and God knows it. That's why he said you're a liar. If you don't love your brothers and sisters in Christ, and maybe somebody in here, you've been offended by somebody in here, you have the ability to love them. That doesn't mean we got to go over and shower them with kisses and all that stuff. Doesn't mean that at all. But it tells me that we are to love them and say, that is my brother or sister in Christ. And they have a potential to change and to grow the kingdom of God just as I do. And maybe one day they'll grow up, or maybe I need to grow up. Amen?
Amen.
Bitterness will even cause you to doubt your salvation. And I've seen many Christians like that too, that have been angry, and then they wonder, or carrying bitterness around, and they're always wondering, boy, if the rapture happens, I hope I make it. I know people, have friends like that. And they'll say, I hope I make it when the rapture happens. I say, well, aren't you saved? Well, yeah. But they're carrying something around within them that makes them doubt. bitterness. Deep root of bitterness. And maybe you think, I don't carry that. You need to ask the Holy Spirit just to make sure, amen? Bitterness will even cause you to doubt your salvation. What does it do toward others? This is important. This is important. Hebrews 12, 15 again says, and thereby many be defiled. Think what we do to other people when we are full of bitterness. Think what we do to them. We stain others' lives by our bitterness. It's like a contagious disease. It's like a cancer, and it spreads. Our bitterness, if I'm full of bitterness, my bitterness will spread like a cancer into you or yours into me. Every time I come around, you're going to say, boy, I don't want that guy around me. He's not very encouraging. He's a Debbie Downer because he's full of bitterness. Do you want to hang around bitter people? I don't either, but I want to help bitter people. But that's why he says many be defiled. So in conclusion, I keep on, but I'm going to stop it right there. The antidote for the root of bitterness in Hebrews 12, 14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. And I'm going to read again Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I tell you what, evil speaking does not make you a happy person either. Too many Christians are cursing today and using curse words and foul words, even from pulpits, and we can't be doing that. It defiles those around us. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I can see Jesus almost when he looked at that repentant thief. He was kind toward him. He spoke kind to him. Today you will be with me in paradise. No bitterness. He was an enemy of Jesus Christ when they first got on that cross, but he turned out to be a child of God before he died. What a Jesus we serve. That's why he came and died on the cross. The best possible solution to the problem of bitterness is not to allow it to happen. If you're aware of it, don't allow it to happen. You might even leave today and somebody might call you, or it might be somebody come across your path, may say or do something that makes you angry, and you can either say, Lord, help me to forgive them right now. Don't allow it to come in. We have that ability through the Holy Spirit. There'll be no excuses. I'm going to say it again in heaven. I have the ability to resist and refuse to have a bitter spirit. It takes work. It just does not happen. It takes my choosing to take what Jesus said in his word and apply it to my life in order to have victory over things done to me and said to me throughout my life. That's when we become mature. Instead of a young man, we become a mature father image to those around us. And here's the main thing. Stick close to God and bitterness won't stick to you. Did you hear that? Stay close to Jesus and bitterness won't stick on you. You be full of Jesus. That's why we sung about the name of Jesus today. James 4:8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But I want to say this, bitterness is a tough enemy to get rid of. Let's all stand. It's a tough enemy to get rid of. And we need to address these things in our media. We can talk about all the our best life is now or whatever. Well, in order to have your best life now, you got to start dealing with the things that the enemy has allowed you to bring into your life. Amen? So with every head bowed and eye closed, I first want to say if there's anybody in here, because this is important. Jesus said, all have sinned. Some people get upset. They call yourself a sinner. Well, let me say it again. Jesus said, all, A-L-L, say it with me, all, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. And the wages of sin is death. That means if you die without Jesus, you will be separated from him for all eternity. This loving God who has no bitterness toward us, but he has love and kindness and mercy and grace. And Jesus said that we needed to repent. And if we got anything, even as Christian people, we are to be in a repentive state at all times, that when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. But mainly, if you're in here this morning and you're not sure, should you die, would you go to heaven? If you say, I'm not sure, I hope, then you better make it right, because that means you may not be going. And if there's anybody in here, I want to open this up as an invitation. If you've never given your life to Jesus, just raise up your hand. Say, Pastor, I want to surrender my life to Jesus today. Just raise up your hand. Is there anybody? I'm giving you that opportunity. This may be your last opportunity on this earth. Is there anyone? Okay, now I want to ask you, is there anyone? Say, Pastor, I need help with bitterness in my life. And don't, and people, again, I want to say this. Don't allow pride to stop you from the Holy Spirit moving, because many times when you and I, when I ask you, and every church does, raise your hand, that isn't to bring embarrassment or condemnation or judgment. That is to bring light upon things that the enemy wants us to hide in order that we stay bound by them. Because every one of us in here, see, my hand's up because I've been super angry at people. And I've held attitudes toward them, bad attitudes, probably bitterness, not probably, I did. And I had to get it under the blood. And if you got your hand up right now, or you got that anger problem, here, this altar, I want to use this altar to come forward. I want you to just come forward. Don't even think about it. Just come forward and say, I want to get right with Jesus right now so we can all pray together. Come on, let's just do it. And the Holy Spirit knows. Some of you have been holding back, but the Holy Spirit knows. You can't hide from the Holy Spirit. So let's just be honest. I want Crossfire to be a church that is honest before God, because he knows all about us. And maybe you're holding a bitterness toward a loved one, a pastor, or a fellow brother or sister in Christ, or maybe somebody at work. Maybe there's something going on. You need to be up here. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. God's going to deliver you today when you ask. He's going to help you to get victory over this in your life. Anybody else before I pray? We're going to pray together. Anybody else? And if you want to receive, you need to be up here. You say, well, I'll just stand back here. God will take care of me too. Will he? If you aren't willing to share, to be part of? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You that are still back there, you would just put your hands toward the people here. These people come up here, they're struggling in areas that they, and maybe the Holy Spirit just revealed it to them today through this message. But I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray out loud with me. I'm going to say a prayer. My prayer doesn't do it. The words don't do it, but it's if you mean it in your heart. So I'm just going to speak out loud, and then I want you to repeat after me by faith, okay? Is that okay, folks? We're in this together. This is a warfare. Heavenly Father, we come before you, broken and bitter towards someone, or maybe more than one. And we come before you right now, Heavenly Father. And we want to surrender this bitterness, this deep-seated anger, this root of bitterness. We want to surrender to you right now, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to help us by your Holy Spirit to bring deliverance into our lives from the root of bitterness. Help me, Lord, when I think of the person or person that have hurt me, offended me, whatever they've done to me, Lord, help me to forgive them. Help me to be free from any anger, free from any bitterness, and to be free in my spirit to be the man or woman you want me to be. I ask that the blood of Jesus right now be over my mind and over my life. And I repent of it. I desire to turn away from every bitter thought that will come into my mind. I renounce them in the name of Jesus. And when I leave the church today, the enemy might even attack me by something else that will bring it all back. But Lord, I bring it to you. And I'm trusting you, Lord, because I'm going to, with your help, by your Holy Spirit, to put it away. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I put it away in the name of Jesus. And I don't want it back. Help me to be like you, Jesus, in every area of my life. And I thank you and I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I want Dan Simon up here. Where's Fred? Is Fred still here? Or is he gone? He might have left. I don't know. I want Ginger. You want to come up here too? And Renee. And Fred's gone. Okay. I want some of the women to pray with the women here right now. Dan and I are going to pray with the guys. We're just going to lay hands on you and say a prayer over you individually. It won't take long, but we just believe that we need to just lay hands and touch your life. Amen? And I can pray for a woman too, but, you know, it's kind of nice to have the women up here too. Heavenly Father, I come to you.
Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. Lord, we desire to be a congregation that will be full of your love, your kindness, and your mercy. And Lord, help us today, even if we leave and somebody says something harsh or unpolite to us, help us to remember, Lord, that you don't want us to be angry or bitter, but to respond in saying, I forgive you if you've been hurt by it. Or smile and say, I'm sorry you feel that way. I forgive you. Lord, help us to be like Jesus, to emulate who Jesus was, and that takes work. So, Father, I thank you for this time today. I pray, Lord, that you will touch every home, bless every home financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, domestically, in every area, Lord, that you are our source. You are the way, the truth, and the life because of what you did on Calvary's cross and shedding your blood. We have the ability to walk in those blessings, and we have the ability to walk in victory, and we have the ability to renounce everything that is trying to destroy us spiritually. So we trust in you, Lord, in this serious time in which we live. And we give you all the honor and praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, I've got the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day. Glory to God. If you want prayer before I leave here, feel free to come forward.